1 Corinthians 15. Verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Then if you go on forward in your Bible toward the back of it, and after I reach, go forward towards the back. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4. Verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Now I want you to go towards the front of your Bible to Romans. Romans chapter 14. And this is written to Christians. Verse 10. Christians, Paul says, why, in verse 10 of Romans 14, why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Final reading for tonight is 2 Corinthians, again, forward toward the back. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 9. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, that I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. The rest of that is interesting, but I wanted you to find and be able to find again for yourselves these passages about the coming or the rapture of the church, the catching away, and what will follow up there for the Christians who go. God has a very precise and detailed program of events. There's nothing haphazard about it. There is no room for personal opinion. There is no private interpretation. I don't want you to ever say, well, I was at such and such a place and I heard a man saying something and it was different to what you're saying, and that was his interpretation, and now we've heard your interpretation. You must never say that, because no preacher is permitted on any platform to give his interpretation of the scripture. God says clearly the Bible's not for that. You don't do that. So if a man is giving to you what he thinks it means, he's wrong. No matter what he says, he's wrong. Because he's not allowed to do that. And I am not therefore going to tell you tonight what I think this means. Because I am not capable of knowing what it means. We're going to look and see what it does mean. The very first thing that's going to happen in the prophetic program is the taking away of the church of Jesus Christ. That means that people who have received Christ since Pentecost, it was 50 days after the crucifixion, everyone who received the Holy Spirit as he saw on Friday night is a Christian, marked and branded. They're going to leave this earth in a moment. A moment. And then to make it even smaller than a moment, Paul says, in the twinkling of an eye. And that has been explained by great preachers for years. It means half an eye wink. Half an eye wink. It's going to be very fast. That all the Christians who have died and are buried at sea or on battlefields or in graves will rise and go right through the air to meet the Lord there in the air. The air doesn't go up too far, sure does it? So they're not going to go too far above the earth's surface. We're not going away up to the moon to meet them, just in the air. And lower than the top of Mount Everest, actually. That's amazing, he's coming down so far. But he's not coming to earth. This is not the great judgment day. No. When people get excited and there's a dark day and overcast and thunder and lightning, and they say, oh, that's like a judgment day. They haven't a clue what they're talking about. Not a single clue. There is no judgment day coming for a long time. The first thing will be the mysterious, silent, swift, secret disappearance of Christians to meet the Lord up there in the air, a private meeting place in the air. He will not come to earth. He will not stand on the earth at that stage. This event in the Bible that Paul talks about, he says then he's dealing with a big subject in 1 Corinthians 15. Everything dies and then there's a resurrection, and it dies in corruption, it's raised in incorruption. And he says, but behold, I show you a mystery. We'll not all die. After saying everything has to die, he says, we'll not all die. And what he's really saying is this, that today on this earth, there are millions of people who might never die. Nothing. That's the mystery. Everything that's born has to die. But there are millions of people who might never have a funeral. The undertakers are going to miss a lot of money. You'll not need to go and buy a grave, nor go to a crematorium, because there's millions of people on earth today who might never die, and I'm one of them. But I feel like dying, as I do quite often, and I always think, well, praise the Lord and cheer up, you might never die. If you're a Christian, born again, have the Holy Spirit inside, you might never die. So don't say thinking too much about it and planning too much for it and talking too much about it. Because if the Lord comes tonight, now listen, I'll tell you the truth, he could come tonight and every Christian would rise to meet him. The magnetic power of the risen Christ will draw them up to meet them in the air. His magnetic power. And there is no power on earth to keep them down. There's a lot of Christians, you know, and they're buried. They're buried under buildings. Very on the contrary. Do you think that will keep them down? No way. No way. There's a lot of Christians, you see, because I know the way your minds are working now. And a lot of Christians in their loss of faith. And they've been eaten by fish. And the fish were caught. And somebody had the fish. That's pretty true. Where are they going to come from? Just ask the Lord about that, not me. He'd just call them. But where they went down, a new body, a glorified body, they're alive. The Christians that have been blown to pieces in Northern Ireland and were shoveled off the ground, shoveled into plastic bags. They'll come again. They'll come again. The Christian whose body shrunk to 4 stone weight, twisted, diseased, dancing, slipped with tender hands into a coffin and buried, will rise with a glorified body. We're not coming back with the bodies we go down to death with. Hallelujah. Those that were buried without a limb or without the two limbs will have their two limbs restored. And all those with the organs missing will have all the organs restored. Perfect bodies. I have 2 family members gone, and I wouldn't like to see them resurrected the way they were put down. I would not. They were in a bad way with cancer. There'd be no cancer in glory. There'd be no doctors or hospitals in heaven. No drugs in heaven. No nurses in heaven. They'd have to be nurses. It's tremendous, won't it? And that could happen tonight. Thank God that could happen tonight. There are many, many signs given in the Bible for the coming back of the Lord Jesus, and the signs would boggle the mind. The signs would boggle the mind. I took 1 week at some place in Belfast, just every night, different signs for 7 nights. And every sign that there is in the world today that's recorded in the book has got to do with the Lord coming back to earth to reign as monarch, as we saw the other night, for 1,000 years. The signs have to do for that. There are no signs for him coming to take away the crystal. So don't tell anybody, the Lord must be coming very soon. Signs are so clear. There's no signs clear that he's coming soon. You just got to believe he's coming soon. Because he said he was coming soon. There are no signs there. You know, and that I can understand that. When he went away, he just said, I'll be back. I think they expected him back in a week. But see. Well, three. And certainly Paul never thought that he would have a funeral. No. And he never thought that the Christians of Thessalonica would die before he'd come back. How do you know that? I read it to you. He said, the dead in Christ will rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Are you going to die? Oh, no, he's not going to stay away that long. He's here before I die. The weeds which are alive and remain should be cut up together. Paul was expecting him every day. And that's the way you're supposed to live your life as a Christian. If you're not expecting him every day, now he knew this, you see, you'll get very careless about the way you live. And you get very careless about your responsibility. I mean, just work it out yourself intelligently. If this service was interrupted by an angel, he's standing beside me, and your head's all turned, and I turn frightened, and the angel hands me a note, and I read it. Jesus Christ will come for his church on Monday morning at 10 o'clock.
He's gone. Why? What kind of a weekend would you have? What kind of a weekend would you have? Would you turn over the other side tomorrow morning when the alarm goes? And you say, this is the last time we're going to break bread. Well, I tell you, I think I know you'd say. You wouldn't be sleeping in bed tonight.
To waste 8 hours of sleep tonight?
No, you wouldn't. You would be off putting things right with people that you have wronged and lied about. You would be traveling across England as fast as your car could take you to a brother, a son's wife, a mother. To knock them up, it doesn't matter if I'm not there at 3 o'clock. They've got to 10 o'clock on Monday to get shaved. I think I'm going to sleep. There'll be no Christians in bed tonight.
No.
Tomorrow, Lord, make me right. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, I must give back that stone properly. Oh, Lord, I must go and see Mrs. So-and-so. I broke her heart. There's no idea it was me that told the lies about her. What would you give? And it would be kind of them to give you the Monday, wouldn't it? To tell the lost. To tell the loved one. And people that you haven't had over the door of your house for years. Since the big row you had, remember? You would have them over tomorrow, wouldn't you? You would. Oh, you would. You would. And what about Sunday night? Well, who's going to sleep on Sunday night? Oh, man. You know, I believe we'd have light speakers around this time. Special announcement. Listen to this. Come out of your houses. Salvation is going to close at 10 o'clock on Monday. You must get saved, friend.
Was around the door, wouldn't it?
The old people's home.
But would really think of what you would be doing.
And in God's name, we mightn't have until Monday. We mightn't have until Monday. We might be here at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. This might be our last night. Huh? Or he might come at 10 o'clock tonight. He will not tell us. Because he expected us to be expecting him at any moment. It's going to be tremendous for some. It's going to be horrific for others. John wrote in his epistle, little children, abide in him so that when he appears, you'll not be ashamed before him at his coming. There are going to be Christians who are going to bow their heads in shame before him at his coming. That was one thing that broke me and transformed me and transformed my living way of life when I was 16 years of age. There's an old hymn we sing in Ireland. I don't know if you know it here or not. But boy, it's a terrible hymn to sing. Must I go and empty-handed? Must I meet my Savior so? Not one soul with which to greet him. Must I empty-handed go? Oh, the years of sinning wasted. Could I but recall them now, I would give them to my Savior. To his will I gladly bow. That hymn broke my heart one night and changed my life as I gave myself and said, Lord, if there's anything in me that you could use it to bring souls to Christ. And I'll be glad when I get there to see others who were brought to Christ at our meeting. I didn't do anything, but he kind of gave me the job to get in there, and he did the saving. Will you have anybody there? Will there be anybody going to heaven because of you? Will there? We're all going because of Christ,
But will be anybody going because of you?
The heathen can have the gospel because Christ died. But they can't hear the gospel until I die. That's die to self. And die to sin. And die to the world. The crucifixion of my life will bring the gospel to men and women. The Christian who is occupied with themselves is little concerned about the world around them. My health, my standing, my status, my position, they're of little good to God, those people. Little good to God. I will not allow anybody to encroach on me and my position. I will not. Yes. Like the Irishman, many years ago, had a conflict with another man in his meeting, and it was destroying the thing. My father was in the place, and he went to this businessman. And he said to him, he said, you know, there's no doubt about it, he says. I have neither act nor part in this problem, but you do owe him an apology. The boy that needed the apology drove an old bin lorry, and he was always dirty, and he used to empty bins. And the other businessman, he was the boss man of the church, you know, just. And what he said to my father, he said, you don't know what you're talking about. Me, apologize to him, and he's a bin man. Well, you see, you're not surprised the place is nearly closed. There's nobody to say it. See, you know? You can't see that. You can't see that. Oh, to be nothing. Only to lie at its feet. A broken and empty vessel for the Master's use being made. He wants to use you tomorrow. He wants to use you tomorrow. He'll break you. He'll smash you. He'll humble you. Did you allow him? And he's coming. And he's going to break you tomorrow. And he comes tonight. You're going to be ashamed before him at his coming. The years of sinning wasted. Years of sinning wasted. The opportunity. The pride. The care. The protection that you've given to yourself and your family. Must grieve him. I want you to think of that now. We're going to be glad to get away from here, aren't we? It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be wonderful to meet loved ones going on before. And if you really love the Lord, it's going to be wonderful to see him. You could see the Lord tonight. That's an honest fact. You could look into his eyes tonight. You could hear his voice tonight. You could. Because he's going to descend from heaven with a shout. With the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the sleeping saints will rise first. And we will join them. Someone has said that when Jesus comes for his church, he's going to, sleeping saints are going to be raised. Living saints are going to be refashioned. And faithful saints are going to be rewarded. So I hope you're going to be rewarded. And I hope you're going to be refashioned. Let me try and explain this to you, because I've talked so much about these subjects over years, and they've filled my heart, but people have said to me the most strange things afterwards, where I knew that they weren't even switched on to what I was talking about, you know? And a couple of young schoolgirls went home very distressed one night about what I said. And they were Christians. But they couldn't understand how they would get out of the hall they were in if the Lord came. Or how they would get out of the car. Or if they were down in the cellar at Granny's house, how they would get out if the Lord came. Would they have to go up through one floor after another floor and take the tiles off on the way out? No. We're going to be changed.
and caught up. That's what I read. And we're going to get on that seat there if he comes before I finish talking. And he said, I would love him to interrupt me. I would love him to. On that seat, you Christians that are saved and of the Holy Spirit, you're going to be changed on the seat. So they've changed them over you. You've seen people changing, haven't you?
You see that lady going to faint. I saw a change on her.
Yeah. Well, every Christian will change, will be changed for the better.
They'll be better living after it.
The wrinkles will be gone. The pains will be gone. On that seat in a moment, change, right? What have you got now? You've got a glorified body. Well, as you're changed. What's that? What's a glorified body? Christ had one. Christ had one in his resurrection. And he got up in the tomb and came out through the stone. They didn't need to roll away the stone to let him out. But I believe they did roll away the stone to let him out. Because he didn't escape. Didn't have to escape. He satisfied the claims of God. And if they put me in prison for 6 months, and after a third of the sentence, the governor said, now, you can leave in the morning after you get your breakfast. And there's a ladder around the back, and the wall's not so high over yonder if you want to go out that way. You think I'm going to climb over the wall with a ladder? I've satisfied the law. I'm going to say, sir, you get here yourself and open that gate. And let me walk out righteously. I don't like to think that my Lord is kicked to a stone. I believe that God said, stand back! Angel, throw back the stone. Come out, my son. Righteously and justly. Every place of the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. But he did come into the house that he left and left it. How, I don't know. He disappeared. He did go into the house in Jerusalem, and they were shut in the upper room, and the doors were locked, and he was there. He didn't take any plaster off the wall. Because a glorified body, resurrected body, can pass through solids without scraping the surface. That's what's going to happen to you sitting in the meeting. Your old heart will be made right in this building tonight. Your circulation will be all right tonight, mother. If you've got any broken limbs there, you'll get them healed sitting there. That'll be a faith healing meeting. No, no divine healing. God will do it. Hallelujah. That's amazing. Transformed and caught up to meet him in the air. You can allow your mind to run riot as you anticipate that moment. What a moment. Face to face. Oh, blissful moment. You've thought about him a lot, haven't you? I know you Christians, you love him. You really love the Lord. Some of you are not able to express it so much. Some of you don't look like as if you love him. But down in your heart, you must love him. Now some of you are bouncing about, and thank God for those that are not afraid to say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Because you love him. Why shouldn't you love him? What do you think it's going to be like to have a look at him? If you just saw him up in the rostrum and you were one of 55,000 million, I'd be great. I'd go just for that. But, excuse me, he's going to talk to me. And I'll be talking to him. Not a wee quick shake hands and then he's away. He's going to call me by name. He says, I call all my sheep by their name. And he's going to say, well done. What, sir? Well done. You mean I did it all right? I lived with great self-reproach, Lord. You did a good job. Thank you for coming. I'm glad to see you. I'll feel very small, won't I? I'll feel, oh, Lord, jump it up, and I'm too glad to be here. I'm glad to see you. You're going to look into his eyes, he's going to look into your eyes, he's going to know your name, and he's going to thank you for coming. And earth is gone, and its sorrows and its problems, its pains and its sicknesses, gone forever. And you're at home with the Lord. I wonder, is there some heart saying,
Even so, come, Lord Jesus.
I wonder if there's somebody here would like to see him tonight like that. Now, I know you're not all like that. No, no. Some of you have got a big deal on this week. You make a friend or two. And some of you are planning to get married in a month or two. Oh, you wouldn't want him to spoil that. And some of you are going to move house, yeah? And a new car's coming through. I've got to run the new car before you come. Just he knows your heart and he knows mine. And there's none of us here has anything to be proud of. We're going to move up like that.
Changed! Caught up
to meet him in the air.
The tragedy is
that that event will split families down the middle. Parents will go and leave teenagers. Teenagers will go and leave parents. Brothers will go and leave their sisters. Sisters will go and leave their brothers. I know teenagers from 20s who spend a lot of time going around prophetic conferences and that, and they say, we can't hear enough, but it turns a knife in my heart when I think of Mommy and Daddy who are not saved. Husbands will go, wives will be left. Could I tell you this? The great heart of love that God has, the great work which Christ did, both of them put together, cannot take one soul to heaven who hasn't received the Holy Spirit. And that's how. God loves you. Christ died for you. Well, there's no way you're going up. No way. If you haven't the Holy Spirit. No. It's the Holy Spirit in the body that responds to the shout, the call. Oh, yes, he's going to come to the air and he's going to give a shout. Regular. The voice of the archangel and the trump of God. You will not hear the shout if you haven't got the Holy Spirit. You know, I could be out in a field and I could hear a man talking in London. If I've got a wee transistor radio. And I would hear the news. And I might come running in with excitement if the news was big news. And so I said, where did you hear that? Gee, you're up the field. I've got the wee thing with me, you know, the wee transistor. All right. Could I hear a man in one of these fields speaking in London if I hadn't one of those? No, couldn't. And you know about the CB boys, don't you? Going to legalize them some of these days. And then it'll be a bit of crack. But at least if they can talk to each other in the motorway or somewhere. When I got the Holy Spirit, you see, I got a transmitter built in. Not a pacemaker, a transmitter. Yeah. And when I got the Holy Spirit, I got a receiver built in. Yeah. Oh, I'm no spy. But I've got my own transmitter and receiver. And wherever I am, I can send a message to heaven. Did you know that? I can send a message up to my bed. Up a mountain, down a cold mountain, I've got a transmitter. And I've got a receiver. Yeah. And it's turned on all the time. Turned on 24 hours a day. And when the Lord comes to the air, that stretch will be picked up in here. Come on home! Hallelujah! I am coming, Lord. I'll not miss it. But see, if you haven't got the Holy Spirit, you won't even hear it. Two sisters could be in bed together. One of them saved, one of them not saved. The saved one will go, and the other will be left behind. A husband and wife in bed together. The wife won't know if she awakens in the morning, but the husband's away. Where is he? Must be downstairs or down the street from such a day. You see, she didn't have the receiver. She didn't hear the shout. You say, that's terrible. Listen. There is nothing in history that has ever happened could compare with it. It is absolutely staggering. That's what it is. And look, so many people say to me, what about the babies?
What about the children?
Christian parents say, we have a wee son of 3 and a girl of 4. What do you think will happen to them?
Well, according to the Bible now, they'll be gone.
They'll be gone. Be tremendous.
You see, they'll be changed too and caught up.
Because when they get up there to meet them, they'll be adults. But be like Christ. Christ isn't a baby. But thank God we'll be there.
Through the blood! A great subject that Johnny talked to you about.
We'll get into it now, we'll be here till then.
Through the blood of Christ, the curse is removed that are entitled to God.
But they haven't rejected Christ. Of the babies that haven't the sense to reject Christ or their maturity to reject Christ. I want you to pause for a moment and think how that's going to affect the jungles. The jungles. But no gospel had ever preached. Some jungle city or jungle town, 1,000 little children will all disappear. They'll not know whether they fell in the river or robbers kidnapped them. Right across Africa, the children will go. Right across China, the Muslims, the Hindus, the Hottentot children, the pagan children. In the UK, the Protestants, the Catholic children.
Whether they've been to Sunday school or never Sunday school or not old enough to go to Sunday school. They'll rise to meet the Lord.
Men and women, parents, who never sang a hymn, who never taught the children a verse. There's a lovely wee darling there tucked away the night when they go up to the cot. The baby's gone. And they won't have a clue why. Because, you see, they won't have heard the sound because they didn't have a receiver. And they won't know what all happened while they were watching the television. And they go up to tuck it in at night and it's gone!
They go to the neighbors and the neighbors say, we've lost ours! See? A whole avenue, the whole street. And there's not a Christian in the street. But the children are gone.
Do I need to take you a step further? To the maternity homes of Earth? To the babies that were born yesterday? And what joy those babies have brought. The ones that were born today, right? I suppose they've had them all away now. They're down in the nursery under careful attention of dedicated nurses. Think of that across the UK, across Europe, across America, across Japan. Modern hospitals, modern maternity homes, nurseries for children, right? The Lord comes tonight. What sister's going to have to go to those mothers? Now look, we had 22 babies down in the nursery last night. And they were all right at 3 o'clock. We checked them. The nurse stones went back at 3:15 and every cot was empty. We just don't understand. We have called the police, but the police said that they've had 6 calls from other hospitals. The very same thing happened. What do you think the television will do all the next day? I guarantee every program will be suspended. There are reports coming in from Illinois, Chicago, Philadelphia. Millions nothing. Millions nothing. Where are they? With the Lord.
Mm-hmm. And heaven's closed. Bang!
That's all about it. Nobody else coming up here. And there'll be no person able to say, God, that's not fair.
No.
But there'll be more people on earth, a bigger percentage of people on earth will pray that day than has ever prayed before in any one day. The Bible says,
they shall call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall knock, and I will not hear. Because I stretch forth my hand, and no man regarded it. I will laugh at your calamity, God laughing. Because I called you, and you refused. You wouldn't move. Your head was too big. You loved the things of earth. You were proud. You were dark. You were dim.
The heavens There'll be more people that way in heaven than in hell, you know. Oh, yes. I walked the cemetery over there. Think you made cemetery the other morning. And I took a list of one tombstone of 7 children who died between 1844 and 1862. 7 children in one family. The longest that any one of them lived was 1 year and 11 months. Some of them lived 9 hours and one of them lived 11 hours. It's all down there for you. 140 years ago. And as I stood at the grave and I looked at the tombstone, I thought, when the Lord comes with the 7 bodies he raised from here. Mm-hmm. Way to hell. Maybe the daddy and mummy never heard the gospel. And all over the world, all those wee darlings will all rise to meet the Lord. Thank God for Christ. Mm-hmm. Thank God he died. To take away the sin of the world. Ladies, gentlemen, he wants to take away yours tonight. He wants to save you. Don't you miss it. Oh, miss it. It could be all over in 2 hours. God knows it's true. What's going to happen to the Christians very quickly, very briefly? God is going to take this vast, innumerable number of people to our judgment seat. And I just want you to get a hold of this, because we're going to amplify the judgment tomorrow night when we come to the judgment of the sinner. The judgment seat of Christ that we read about in 2 Corinthians 5 and Romans 14 verse 12 and 2 Corinthians 5. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. You say, what's that? No, I don't want you to get excited. Listen to me. Every person who's received Christ is going to have to go up when he comes, right? You might just feel you're ready to go. Big lot of your feet are not ready to go. I'll tell a lot of people waiting to go and wanting to go tonight. There's a lot of boys say, oh, no, not yet. Because of things they're tied up with and things they're involved in, they don't want to go, but they're going to have to go when he comes. The Christians are talking about. And it's called the Bema, the Bema, the Bema. The nearest description to it is the umpire that you maybe see at the tennis, you know. And he's sitting up there. It's not for him to decide which is the most successful person. But what is for him to decide is who plays fair or who cheats. And the final result is for him to decide if the ball was out or in. Your life, when you became a Christian, is going to be revealed. That's it. Not to see whether you're getting in or not. You wouldn't even be up there if you weren't getting in. Not to see whether you're getting in or not. It's for the position that you're going to hold when you get in. That's it. You've been accepted through the blood. You're in the church and you're in the family. But the rewards, the crowns, the stars, whatever they may be, I do not know. The position of trust or authority will be determined by your faithfulness here on this earth to the Lord Jesus. Who will be judged? All Christians. No exception. All Christians. Your life is being judged now. Your sins have been dealt with at Calvary, right? So from the reception of the Holy Spirit until you get home to glory, 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, 10 years, 2 weeks, whatever it is, that's going to be looked at, and he's going to say, you could have done much better. There wasn't anything for me in your life. The way in which we have judged others is going to be brought out. You read about that in Matthew 7.
So with what judgment ye judge, therewith shall ye be judged. Are you a bit of a critic? Are you hard on people? You're asking for trouble when you get up there.
You're not to judge anything. You're not to judge.
And the measure and the heat and the pressure of the judgment that you apply to other people, he'll apply this to you.
That's got to be looked at. Because your judgment of other people could either put them out of the work of God or push them into a position that they were never entitled to have. Oh, yeah. If you move in the right circle, you'll get on, you know. If you don't move in the right circle, you'll not get on, no matter what bit you have. Somebody will sit on you.
If you sit on some other Christian who ought to be getting on with the work,
you'll be judged for holding them back. And if you push some fellow that shouldn't be pushed, you'll be judged for that. You judged him to be good, and he wasn't good.
I've seen this so often, really, in my little life. People say to me, what about this and what about that? Well, I don't know too much about them, and it's nothing to do with me. But I know one dear fellow at home here. Bless him. Decent wee man, and he's had busy working for the Lord, and he's his middle 80s. I believe that he pushed 3 young men out into full-time service when none of the 3 of them were fitted for it or even called to it. But he talked them into it. On and on, on and on, and on and on, and they went out.
And they're back now where they started. Should never have been out. Gotta be careful in the Lord's work. Pushing people, judging people, deciding he's good and deciding that he's not good.
That's one. We are to leave the judgment to the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we look it up sometimes, tells us that we will be judged regarding the contribution that we have made in building up the church of Christ. What are you building? What materials are you using? What are you doing to build up the Church of Jesus Christ? Now really, what are you doing? You know what I think is a great pity? And I've seen it most bitterly gone. In every church, and you folks that have indicated you come from the Methodist Church, or Church of England, or Pentecostal, or Baptist, you agree with what I'm talking about now. Is the passengers that you have to carry, and the Christians you have to lift and lay. And if they're not getting attention, they'll not be there. You know what I mean? And it's always left to the minority, the few dedicated workers who love the Lord. And then you suddenly realize, where's so-and-so and so-and-so? Well, it's wet. They don't come out in the frost, you know. Oh, mercy. Better send a car for them. That's amazing. We're building them up. They're not building the church up. They're holding the church back. That's what they're doing. I want you to think about it. Up in Scotland, a businessman drove me in his car round and round on Sunday afternoon. And he said, you know what we've done for the last 2 hours? He said, we've called on assembly members. He said, we're only wasting our good afternoon. He said, I don't agree with this at all. He said, every one of them sick. He said, I believe them at home. He said, imagine taking an afternoon to run around people who are not going to the meetings and have no responsibility. When a campaign's on, you shouldn't have to look after Christians. Christians ought to be out in the forefront fighting. But the word comes through. Mr. Murphy, you've been there 2 weeks and I haven't seen you yet. Never got a message to ask from here, thank goodness. I was trying to see him and I said, now you see me. Yes, it's nice to see you, it's nice to see you. You could have seen me any night in the hall of 8 o'clock here. Any night in the hall at 8 o'clock. Well, we don't go out at night. No, not unless it's a party.
Lot of rubbish.
Great crack to know when I go to somebody's house. Haven't done it here because I go home to bed from here. When I go to somebody's house after the meeting was, a lot of nice girls there, men with sticks in their head. This is Mr. Flanagan and Mrs. Oh, how do you do? Nice to see you. And where do you go? Where in their family where you are? You know what? And we don't go out at night, brother.
Well, what are you doing here? For your supper.
Well, it's a chance to see you, you know. But we don't go out at night. No.
But if we're invited to somebody's house, we'll be there, you know.
Or if there's a wee slideshow with the Band of Hope, we'll be there.
No.
That's coming out in the morning. You watch it. The Lord comes tonight. Who do you think you're going to bluff that one? No, sir.
The entire church will know that you were bluffing. That the teenagers. How the teenagers. Yes.
And I'm living in the house, and Daddy says, you can't go to the meeting, you won't mind if Ronnie doesn't go, he's doing his A-level.
Oh, it's okay, sir.
But I'm too fly for Ronnie when I get home.
I know the programs that we're on. Ask them what happened, eh? The soldier will get killed tonight, and what's up?
A-levels, my foot.
Television, yes. You think the daddy's going to get away on that one? No, no. If Ronnie's saved, he's not going to get away either.
I don't know. God is neither daft, nor blind, nor deaf.
What do you do to build up the church?
Your contribution. Is your life work going to be wood, hay, and stubble, or gold and silver and precious stones? That's going to come out in the morning when you get there.
Listen. Listen, you should be searching your heart every night. Lord, could I stand it if you came tonight? Could I stand it, Lord? That's just part of it. 1 Corinthians 4, verses 1 to 6, you'll find that our service generally will be called into examination and scrutiny. Why do you serve? Why do you serve? Are you gifted to do what you're doing? You've got to be sure you're doing what he wants you to do. You know, you could be in a Sunday school class for years. You get no thanks for it and you get to heaven.
Why?
I expect you to tell us all the good of God. No way. There's an awful lot of people teaching Sunday school that was never gifted to teach Sunday school. And no wonder the kids leave at 10, 11 years of age. They've been bored to tears every Sunday for the last 2 years. And the school teachers who are trained to teach them are tired after lunch on Sunday. They need a walk. Let some mug teach the kids. School teachers will be rapt for it. And the other boys who are wasting the kids' time will be rapt for it. And all the boys that are up here preaching and are not gifted to preach and are up here to hear themselves. You get no thanks for that, is there? No, you've traveled miles across the country with your sermons and your Bible. But that's not what God wants you to do. That comes out in the morning. The Lord says, no, you waste your time. You were the best hospital visitor and you never went to visit anybody. Because you wanted to be seen and heard. And the saints know, as they sit and listen to you, that they're not gifted. They're the best judge. What do you think the Lord knows?
You see, you've got a gift. You've got a gift. You've got a talent. And you use that talent for him. And he's going to measure you up on how you use that one. If you're doing something you weren't fitted for, you're going to suffer loss. Imagine losing your life. Losing your life. Just because you love to be invited out and you love a chance of doing something, don't do things that you're not gifted to do. God has you to do a job that nobody else could do. That's the biggest job in your life. And you and I cannot assess the big job. Small-minded people think it's a big, great thing to go on the platform. Now let me up there, I have a great story to tell them.
I would like to tell them the confession.
Another nonsense.
There's a bigger job than that. If you go and bring somebody to hear whoever is preaching until you get saved, you get the reward. And you'll find a way to test yourself.
It's this. Because naturally, you like it. Usually you're not called to do it. You get a hold of that. Because naturally you like it. Usually you're not called to do it. You find that the boys that are preaching, that are called and fitted to do it, the devil has them so harassed and depressed they want to give it up. And the boys that the devil knew the no good at, the devil's pushing them. Because they'll turn your head at the people that empty the hall on you. They'll say the most ridiculous things. The devil says, go ahead, boy, I wouldn't discourage you. You're doing a good job. You startle them. You're the boys of the platform. Go ahead. You got to get your thinker going. That's coming out. That's coming out in the morning. Are you anxious to see him in the night, sir? I think you are, aren't you? But you could be ashamed before him at his coming. And don't go without souls. And if you're not saved, get saved, will you? Tonight, I'm going to stay here as long as needs be. Till tomorrow morning, if necessary, talking to you about this. And some of you Christians would come to me and say, look, man, I want to be absolutely dedicated to the Lord. I want to be in His hands and in His will. I'll stand talking. Tomorrow's my last day. I'll be in Ireland in 48 hours. Let me never see you again. Don't you leave tonight. Put your life right. Whatever church you go to, they'll need you to do more than you're doing. God bless you. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you for the reality of Jesus coming back. It's a blessed hope, and Lord, we're all anxious to get away. Away from our circumstances, away from the weather, away from inflation, away from neighbors, away from the irritations. Lord, to think that we've got a home in glory that outshines the sun is marvelous. And with a loving Heavenly Father waiting to welcome us, Lord, that would be glory. Lord, bless our families who are not saved. Lord, there's people sitting here and there's loved ones near and dear that are not saved. Lord, save the husbands of Christian ladies in this morning. Go to them now, Lord, where they are, those men. Maybe at home, maybe at a club. And save the wives of Christian husbands, Lord. And save the parents of Christian young people. And save the young people of Christian parents. That, Lord, as we think of seeing them tonight, they will not be ashamed before Him at His coming. Help us to rectify our lives, to find the niche that He has for us, that we might be in His will, doing His work. Lord, do bless and separate us with Thy blessing, because we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.